to read a couple of verses from the good word of the Lord. Brother Hassel said, do whatever you feel like. And I'll just be honest with you, I'm a little more comfortable when I get to preaching than I am doing anything else. So I'd like to try to preach here, and the Lord helping me and all of you bearing with me. I want to read from the book of Luke, first of all, chapter 20, and then from the book of St. John, chapter 8. First of all, Luke chapter 20 and verse number 34 says, and then I'm going to also read verse number 35, and Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. And then from the book of St. John chapter 8 and verse number 23, again, Jesus speaks, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Praise God. I want to ask Brother Ray Hassel to come out here and pray and ask God to bless his word tonight.
Dear God, our Father, tonight we come humbly before thy presence. You see and you recognize the need tonight. I pray, O God, that you will anoint the ears and the hearts of these to receive thy word tonight. Lord, we count it such an honor and a privilege to serve and to work in thy great vineyard. You see, as thy messenger stands behind this pulpit tonight, I pray the divine anointing of God will fall heavily upon him. Give him the very words that will touch our hearts, will lift us up, it'll motivate us and move us by the power of the gospel. Lord, we pray that you will keep your hand upon us all and use us for the glory of God. And I ask you again now to bless Brother Rome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In that first text that I read from, there were Sadducees that came to Jesus, and when they came with one purpose in mind, to try and find fault with what Jesus Christ had done. They raised a hypothetical situation. They asked a question that really was a foolish question. They said, Jesus, there was a woman that was married to a man, and when her husband died, she married his brother. And then he died, and she married the other brother. And then he died, and she married the other brother. And then he died, and she married the other brother. And they said this went on until she had married some seven men, and then finally the seventh man died, and she was still alive. Now, I don't know. She must have been quite some woman or lived to be quite an old lady. But she went through seven husbands. And they said, now when they get on the side where the resurrection takes place, said, now who will she be married to? And of course, it was a foolish question because they didn't believe in the resurrection anyway. They were Sadducees. And they were trying to find fault with what Jesus might give as an answer. But Jesus said something that especially I want to talk about tonight. He made a tremendous comparison, a comparison between this world and that world. He said, those that are children of this world, they marry and they're given in marriage. But he said, in that world, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. And then, of course, he talked about the children of God that are going to be a part of that world in the resurrection. In the second text that I read from, in the book of John, he was speaking to the Pharisees, and again there were the questions that had come to him and those that were trying to find fault. And Jesus answered them simply by saying, you are from beneath, I am from above. He said, you are of this world, but I am of that world. And I want to talk to you just for the next few minutes about the simple fact that we are between those two worlds. That we are neither up there in the glory world yet, nor are we really at home and a part of this world. And the reason that we feel many of the feelings that we have in this life are a result of being between those two worlds. I think if a home missionary understands it, if a saint of God understands it, if any preacher understands it, then all of it will begin to dovetail together and he will understand what all is going on in his life. If he recognizes that there is a world, a glory world, and then there is this world, and that somehow he will find himself for the moment in between those two worlds. You see, at one time, there was only the one world. There was only the one kingdom, and that was the kingdom of God. But Lucifer said, I want to exalt my throne above God. I want to lift my stars above the stars of God. I want to be like the Most High. And he began to spread that kind of discontent and rebellion among the angels in heaven until one third of them fell. And then he became on this earth the God of this world. And immediately you began to see there are two worlds. This world, where Satan is the God of this world, and then that world. When you begin to look in Scripture, you'll begin to see that there is a war of the worlds, that there is a battle between that world and this world. And you'll begin to find yourself in between the two worlds, feeling the effects of that world at times and feeling the effects of this world at times, and understanding while you walk on this old earth that I am between those two worlds. I am not there yet, and yet I am not home at home here. I am between the two worlds. There was a time when Adam and Eve experienced the pleasures of that world, though they walked on this earth. But they were tempted and led astray by Lucifer, and they yielded to everything that is a part of this world. The Word of God said, love not this world. Any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he explained what this world is. He said, this world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when Satan began to deal with Adam and Eve, he dealt with those three things. The lust of the flesh. They said the tree looks like it's good to eat. And the lust of the eyes. It was good to behold. And then the pride of life. He said, now look, Adam, and look, Eve especially, it'll make you wise. And pride entered into her life. And they yielded to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And they were pulled from the presence of God, from the fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord, and from that place of peace and joy and happiness into a world of sin, where pain and trouble and turmoil and hatred and jealousy and strife and envy and all kinds of foul spirits dwelt in this world. And from that moment forward in history and in this Bible, you'll find the two worlds at war. You'll begin to see people as they step upon the stage and where they join in the conflict. You look at the first boys that are born and you see Cain that is filled with the spirit of this world. A spirit of rebellion and refusing to sacrifice like he should have sacrificed. But Abel, who desires to please God, you will find him wanting to offer unto God a sacrifice that would be shed blood, that would be the best of his flock, and a worshiping heart that begins to exalt the Lord. And you begin to see how the worlds vary. Those that are of this world are filled with rebellion. Those that are of this world do not want to worship. Those that are of this world do not want to obey the Word of God. But those that are of that world, somehow they get in contact with blood. They learn to love the Lamb. They learn to love to worship. They want to do what God wants them to do. And they begin to be filled with the spirit of that world. Hallelujah. Their heart yields to the pulling that comes from that world. And though they walk on this earth, they are not of this world. They are of that world. And their love and their desire is for that world. The Bible talks about a man, and if there ever was a man that portrays what a home missionary gets involved in, this man did. He walks out on the stage of time. He walks among people that are filled with hatred, with strife, with envy, with the darkness of despair and sin. He walks out there and he begins to find grace in the sight of the Lord. And he begins to preach. It almost looks like a home missionary walking into a city somewhere. His message sounds strange. Noah, you are so out of place. You do not make sense with what everybody else is saying. But you see what Noah was doing? He was walking between the two worlds. Hallelujah. And when you walk between those two worlds, and you're on the side of the glory world, you just don't sound right to those that are in this world. You never will sound exactly right to those in this world. You never will fit just exactly right into this world. You will always seem a little strange, and it'll always seem a little out of place. There will always be something about your life and the way you walk that you are not in step, that you hear the sound of another drum, that you follow another tune, that there is a voice that speaks to you like it doesn't speak to them, because you don't belong to this world. You belong to that world. Noah began to preach, and his message was a straightforward message. The message of that world says there's one door. Hallelujah. That home missionary walks into a town somewhere and he begins to preach a message. He doesn't join with all the other churches and say we're ecumenical and we all believe the same thing. We're traveling different roads and we're all going to the same place. No, sir. He comes into that city and he says there's only one gangplank and there's only one door and there's only one ark. And he begins to preach in that city and to declare that there's light in the darkness, that there's a way out of this world, and that the judgment of God is coming on this world. And the only hope is to get out of this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And that's exactly what these home missionaries have done. They've walked into a city and they said, by the grace of God, I'm going to build an ark. And by the grace of God, there will be a door. And by the grace of God, and though it may only be 8 souls, somebody's going to walk that gangplank. Somebody's going to get out of this world. Somebody's going to be delivered from judgment. There's somebody that will fall in love with my Lord and will want to get out of this world. Hallelujah. If there ever was a day that we are like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah, these are the days. And I believe you could compare every last missionary, especially right here in this United States, with Noah, because the days are so similar. We could talk about them and preach about them for a long time. But notice, all the way through Scripture, let me pick out one more man. Here's a man that is inside a city in this world. It's a modern city. It's fully developed. Great libraries. It's a very advanced and intellectual city. But inside that city, he decides that I just do not feel at home here. There is a different feeling in my life. He hears another call. He feels uncomfortable, even though he has all the pleasures of that city. And he feels like I just am not supposed to be here. And he begins to gather up his belongings, and he walks out of Ur of the Chaldees, and you walk up to him and you say, where are you going, Abram? He said, I'm just wandering. I'm just traveling over hills. I'm going through valleys. I'm crossing rivers. I'm here and I'm there, and I'm packing my tent and I'm sleeping a while and I'm picking it up and I'm moving on. Well, why don't you just build yourself a kingdom here, Abram? Why don't you develop a great big a fancy ranch right here. Why don't you develop all kinds of prosperity right here? And he would have said, oh no, there is a feeling inside of me that tells me I never will be at home in this world. I never will fit in this world. There is something inside of me that tells me I'm headed for another world. I'm headed for another city. He said, I'm seeking for a city, and it's not like anything I've ever seen on this earth. He said, it has foundations, and its builder, and its maker is God. I'll tell you what happens to us at camp meeting. We begin to feel a little more of that spirit that comes from the other world, and we begin to decide, oh God, I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I don't belong in this world, God. I'm longing and hungering and looking forward to another world, to a glory world, to a pure world, an undefiled city that fadeth not away. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And all through the Bible, you'll see that world war going on. The war between the worlds and the people of God caught in between the pull of one world and the pull of the other world. And you finally walk up to the New Testament after some 400 silent years where the worlds aren't talking to each other. And finally you begin to hear the voice of one that cries in the wilderness and says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, there cometh one after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to loosen. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And all of a sudden, on the stage of time, there is a babe that's born in Bethlehem. I want you to take a look at him. He doesn't just belong to that world, and he doesn't just belong to this world. He is born of a woman. He's born like we're born, and that he was born of a woman. He begins to feel what we feel. He knows pain. He knows sorrow. He knows trouble. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be weary. He lays down and sleeps in the hills of Judea. It seems like he's of this world. He was born of a woman. And from his mother's side, you could say he was human. But he was also of that world. He was divine. Because he could walk on the water. He could stretch forth His hands and calm the storms. He could speak words to dead men and cause them to climb out of their tombs. He could raise up boys out of the funeral bier. He was one that was of the two worlds, and yet in between those two worlds. What's He like? It was God coming down to bridge the gap between the two worlds. Jesus Christ came to bridge the gap. Hallelujah. To prepare a way to get a man out of this world into that world. Hallelujah. Satan said, I'm going to cut him down. Satan said, I'm going to destroy his life. Satan said, I'm going to do the same thing to him that I did the first Adam. And the first thing he tried on him was the lust of the flesh. He said it worked on the first Adam. I'll see how it works on the second man, Adam. He said, turn those stones into bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Satan was pushed back. I am not going to yield to the lust of the flesh that's of this world. And then Satan said, I'm going to try the lust of the eyes upon him. He said, here, take a look at all of these kingdoms. You see all of those powers, all those principalities? You can have all of that. Just take a good long look at it. Just bow down and worship me and you can have it all. And Jesus said, oh no. No, I'm not going to yield to the lust of the eyes. No, sir, I'm not going to yield to that love of the world and the lust of the eyes. No, sir. You're not going to get me to bow down. I'm going to worship the Lord thy God, and Him only will I serve. Hallelujah. And Satan said, I'm going to try one more thing. And it's the third part of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And he said, now I'm going to try the pride of the life upon him. He said, come on, you know that you've got power. Just jump down here off of this big high place, and the angels will pick you up, and you'll be all right. But the Lord said, I'm not going to yield. I'm not going to yield to the pride of life at all. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And Satan experienced a defeat. He experienced a setback until he began then to try and work his way into defeating the Lord. Go with me to Calvary for a minute. And you watch the Lord Jesus even before Calvary and Gethsemane, starting the struggle between the two worlds. He was about to bear the sin of this world. He was about to feel all of that. Until finally he goes to Calvary's hill. He is nailed to a cross. He hangs there between two worlds. With blood flowing, preparing a way out of this world to deliver mankind from this world and to get them into the glory world. Now this is what has happened to us. We came into this world a man of defeat and a man of failure. A man that was headed for the lost world, headed for hell. We came into this world as a born loser. That's what we came here as. And then there was the experience of meeting with God, and we said, I'm going to go to an altar. And what happens when you go to an altar? You come down to an altar, and you take the old man. The man that's headed for defeat. The man that's headed for failure. The man that's going to hell. And you say, I don't want you anymore. I want to get rid of you. And you lay him on the altar, and you proceed to kill the man. You say, you belong to this world. You was born in iniquity, and sin did your mother conceive you. You've sinned and you've come short of the glory of God. And you lay him on the altar and you make him die. Die, old man. Die, man of this world. Die. And then you pick him up, a dead man. And you walk him to a watery grave. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the confession of his sins, you baptize him for the remission of his sins. In the name of Jesus. And that dead man is buried. And then the moment comes when that man begins to be born of the Spirit. And the breath of the Holy Ghost begins to breathe inside of him. And like a newborn baby, he begins to speak his first words in the other unknown tongues as the Spirit gives him the utterance. He has been born again. He was a born loser, and now he's a born winner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a born winner. He has been born of another world. It's exactly what's happened in your life. You say, I don't understand why it is. I go to camp meeting and I get the victory and I walk out of here and I'm downtown somewhere or someplace on the job and I begin to feel this pull that's coming after me. It's because you are walking between the two worlds. You've been born of that world. You belong to that world. You don't belong to this world. You'll always feel uncomfortable in this world. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You say, well, I want to do good. And when I would do good, evil is present. And you walk between those two worlds. And that missionary goes into that town feeling the pressure of the two worlds. And God is saying, come on, man, stand true. Preach the truth. Live right. Come on, you're on my side. Worship me. Serve God. You're going to get out of this world someday. Come on, I'm with you, friend. I'm walking by your side. And he falls down and the Lord picks him up. And God gives him victory. And he gets discouraged. And God says, I'll encourage you. And he finds he's got some financial needs. And God supplies the financial needs. Because all the while, God is saying, fight for me. You don't belong to this world. I'm going to get you out of this world someday. And at the same time, the devil's saying, why don't you quit? Why don't you give up? Why don't you join the rest of the world? Why don't you yield to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life? But at the same time, he hears that voice from the other world that says, never give up. Never give up. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're not of this world, and you're going to get out of this world someday. And the more you fall in love with that world, the better off you're going to be. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can't figure out what you're going through. It's because you're walking between those two worlds and you're feeling the pressure. And sometimes for that home missionary, he's in between those two worlds and he's trying to reach for people. Some save with fear, pulling them from the fire. He's trying to get a hold of people that are in this old world. He's trying to lead them to Calvary. He's trying to show them the Lamb. He wants them to walk through the blood. He wants to give them a new name. He wants them to be a part of another family. And in between those two worlds, he feels that pressure and that grind and that back and forth pull, a pull this way and a pull that way as he walks in between those two worlds. Always feeling the battle going on. It's like the no man's land. And he lives there between those two worlds, feeling all that he feels. Some people don't understand why they go through difficulties in this life. They think they ought to be walking on cloud nine all the time, but they haven't learned to realize that they are walking between the two worlds. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. There was a time when Jesus Christ said, I've had enough of this world. There was a time when the stone was rolled back. There was a time when he walked forth victorious out of that grave. There was a time when he rattled the keys in hell. And he had the keys over death, hell, and the grave. There was a time when he ascended up. Hallelujah. And there was that same time when he said he's going to come back. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, that there you may be also. He said, I'm going to come to this world to take you to that world. I am going to get you out of this world. You just keep walking straight. You just keep preaching straight. You just keep living right. You just keep being holy. You just keep serving God and loving God. And one of these days the Bible said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now notice what it said. It said this corruptible. This old body of this world must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and then this mortal shall have been put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, that death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Sin, where's your sting? Hallelujah. The sting of sin is the law. And the Bible goes on to say that the Lord will give us the victory. In fact, it said, praise God for it. It said, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then it said to every home missionary and every saint of God, it said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Everybody say steadfast, would you? Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Just keep walking between the two worlds. Just keep living in victory. Because one of these days the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I wish I had a voice to preach it. Hallelujah. With a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. It simply said, one of these days we're going to get out of this world. Oh, hallelujah. One of these days, every missionary that's gone into a town and built the ark and braved the way and has fought the darkness and defeated sin and Satan and has delivered people out of hell, one of these days the Lord's going to come back and say, come on, let's get out of this world. Let's get out of this world. You've walked between the two worlds long enough, and now I'm going to take you home. I'm going to take you home. Hallelujah. Oh, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. I like the way it says that. Not that He just gave us the victory. Not that He's just going to give us the victory. But it's ever and always with us. He giveth us the victory. Day in and day out, He giveth us the victory. Hallelujah. Let's stand together and we're going to sing. Go ahead and sing. Yes, victory. Oh, hallelujah, I'm free. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, song. Oh, victory. Yes, victory.
Jesus gives me victory. Glory, hallelujah, He is all.